So part of having someone stand in for you is to have them be nervous about starting. So just gonna say, start, just go, man, just jump in with
those
feet.
I can't
remember the tempo. This is, I sing, so this is, I sing the mighty power of God that made the mountains rise, that spread the flowing seas abroad. I sing the wisdom that ordained the sun to rule the day. The moon shines full at his command, and all the stars obey. First two. I sing the goodness of the Lord.
Shout to the Lord, all the earth.
earth let us sing. Power and majesty, praise to the King. Mountains bow down and the seas will roar at the sound of your name. I sing for joy at the words of your hand. Forever I'll love you, forever I'll stand. Nothing compares to the promise I have in you. Who shakes the whole earth with holy thunder and leaves us breathless in awe and wonder? The King of glory, the King above all kings. Oh, this is amazing grace. This is a failing love, that you would take my place, that you would bear my cross. You laid down your life, that I would be set free. Oh, Jesus, I say, who brings our chaos back into order? Who makes disorder a son and daughter? The King of glory, the King of glory, who rules the nations with truth and justice, shines like the sun in all of its brilliance. The King of glory, the King above all kings. This is amazing grace. This is a failing love, that you would take my place, that you would bear my cross. You laid down your life, that I would be set free. I sing for all that you've done for me.
Worthy is the Lamb.
Worthy is the Lamb who was slain. Worthy is the King who conquered the grave. Worthy is the Lamb who was slain. Worthy is the King who conquered the grave. Worthy is the Lamb who was slain. Worthy is the King who conquered the grave. Worthy is the Lamb who was slain. Worthy, worthy, worthy. Oh, this is amazing grace. This is unfailing love, that you would take my place, that you would bear my cross. You laid down your life, and I would be set free. Oh, Jesus, I sing for all that you've done for me. Oh, Jesus, I sing for all that you've done for me.
Amen. Thank you, seated. That's good worship. Thank you, Jim. Thank you, Alex.
Good.
later.
Right after prayer.
Right after prayer. Well, as we prepare for prayer this morning, I know we're going to be praying for Pastor Ortiz and Rocio. Rocio has COVID. Pastor Ortiz will find out tomorrow morning if he does. And she's got very mild symptoms. She's doing well. Marcia made a casserole last night. I took it by and just happened to be there at the moment when their church people showed up and were loving on them and blessing them. And so that was a wonderful thing. And I know they'd appreciate your prayers. I know there are others that are isolating, whether they have it or not, and are trying to find out. And so we remember them in prayer as well. Buna's going to come in a minute and lead us in prayer. But as we pray, you know, with the new year, it's a chance to start over a lot of things and make a fresh start. And I would encourage you to think about that in your life and the things that God would have you to change or do differently or do better as you move forward. One of the exciting options, I mentioned last week, YouVersion, to put that app on your smartphone or your computer or to use it to guide your Bible reading. There's just an incredible number of languages as well as versions of the Bible there and reading guides that you can use to read in Scripture or read through the Bible. Another one is from the Alpha program. And if you're not familiar with Alpha, Alpha is a basic introduction to Christianity. It's small group ministry where evangelism takes place. And I'm not going to say the name right now because it just slipped right out of my mind. But if you go to Alpha, there's a website there and an app there that's for the last 7 or 9 years, Jim, the man that's in charge of Alpha, has written a guide to reading the Bible, including scriptures. And I hear it's very, very highly recommended. And of course, his ministry is international. God's using it phenomenally to reach unsaved, unchurched people today. And so that's a good one to also check into if you're looking for a guide for reading through Scripture. There might still be a copy or two of printed guides on the back, and if you want to use those, that would work as well. Well, let's just open our hearts for prayer as we sing and just prepare to talk to the Lord about our burdens, our concerns. And Funa will come and lead us after we sing.
What a friend we have in Jesus, all of our sins and griefs to bear. What a privilege you carry everything to God in prayer. Oh, what peace we often forfeit. Oh, what needless pain we bear. All because we do not care. Everything to God in prayer. Trials and temptations. Is there trouble anywhere? We should never be discouraged. Take it to the Lord in prayer. Find a friend so faithful, who will all our sorrows share. Jesus knows our every weakness. Take it to the Lord in prayer. Are we weak and heavy laden? Comfort with a
Blessed and happy new year to my brothers and sisters. How are you doing today? Happy new year. So I just want to say there's something that is always very intriguing. Ministry takes many, many forms. And as I was thinking about this new year, the ministry of this bulletin just spoke. And I think for this year, this is a good way to start. Lord, give us hearts that seek your way. May your kingdom come this day. Spirit, come. Spirit, move. Spirit, heal. Spirit, reign. So if you have this bulletin, and just hold on to it as we pray. And be bold and give it to someone who needs to hear about Jesus. So with that, join me in prayer at this time. Heavenly Father, we just are so grateful for the way in which that you love us, the way that you point your light upon our path. Father God, in this time and as your people, we just give you thanks for 2021. And yes, there were some things, there were some challenges that were before us, but you were with us, you loved us, you cared for us, and you were there in those very varied moments. You were there, you were present, and we're so grateful. And Lord, as your people, we proclaim 2022 as your year to heal and to restore and to make people whole. And Lord, we just humbly ask that we are part of that healing, we're part of that transformation, that we are part of just revitalizing the reality of who you are and how you speak and how you minister in people's lives, oh Lord. And so this is our prayer this morning for 2022, and we proclaim it, and we just do it in your name. Father God, in this time, we just lift up Pastor Jose Ortiz and Rocio, who is battling with COVID, and we're happy to hear that she has mild symptoms. And Lord, we just pray for the full restoration of her body and her mind, and we just continue to ask you to watch over her family and all the people who care and love for her. And we also lift up our brother and esteemed Pastor Jose Ortiz as he's there to minister to his wife and to his congregation. And Lord, we just pray a protection over him as he also has to undergo testing as well. And Lord, we just ask for complete healing in that situation. 100%. We want them back to do what they always do, preaching and reaching and teaching people, oh God. And we need them and the congregation needs them. So Lord, we just want them back full and strong. We also lift up Donna's daughter, Kathy. She's going to have surgery tomorrow, and many of us have not met her, but we know the heart of a mother, and we know the concerns of the mother. But most importantly, we give that to you, O Lord, and we just ask you in this time to be fully present in the surgery, fully present in the healing, but be fully present in their family, O Lord. And the prayer of a mother and a father and a brother and a sister at this time needs to be heard, O Lord, and we know you hear those prayers. The spirit of comfort, just come at that time and just restore her. But most of all, we want Kathy back to be who she is in full strength. And we just lift her up right now. And Father God, we also lift up other concerns in our congregation. People have been hospitalized and a number of other issues that are also present. But Father God, we know that you are, and I've said it many times, you are the great physician. You're the one that heals. You're the one that restores. And Lord, we want to bear witness to that so we can say that you are God and you are Lord and you are sovereign over all of these things.
Amen.
And we just, again, Amen. We're so, so grateful. And Father God, in this time with my brothers and sisters, there are things that have not been said, but feelings that are deeply felt. In this time and as you are, spend this time with the Lord, and I will be silent. Father God, thank you for the way that you speak into our lives. Thank you for the way in which that you watch over this world. And Lord, we just pray that the way that you watch, intervene in so many ways with our government, with our nation, with our world. We just ask for your peace and your sovereignty at this time. And Lord, again, I lift up this congregation, the really good hearts that are present here that want to serve you. And we just lift you up and praise you with all of our being. And all God's people say,
Amen.
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 Well, I want you to turn in your Bibles to Matthew chapter 18. It's where we're going to be this morning. And while you're looking there, let me just talk to you for a few minutes about it. You know, at the end of the year, have you noticed that there's all kinds of programs or all kinds of headlines about the top 10 or the top 100 or the best of 2021? Are you pointing at me or are you pointing at Jalen? Jalen, go help.
Get the tablet.
Bring the tablet. That's what you need to do. All right. And if you've noticed these lists, and I notice them every year at the end of the year, you know, the top 10 artists or the top 10 songs or the top 100 or whatever that is. That's an issue of where we want to see who the best are, isn't it? We want to see who the greatest are, the ones who are the leaders, the ones who are making waves socially or politically or economically or in different areas of arts and industry. And so we watch those, we look at those lists, and we see who ranks and who doesn't rank. Well, that's a question that all of us have in maybe different forms or maybe different ways of looking at it, but we compare ourselves to others. We compare ourselves to standards or to measures that we are thinking are valuable or important. I remember when my son was running track, and he was blessed to be in the top, you know, so let's say 10 runners on a team of 20 or in the top five. Never really a lot of number one first medals, but certainly very competitive. And yet they always knew their times, right? You talk to a runner, they'll tell you exactly their best time and where they had it and what all their times are. Why? Because they want to know where they stand. They want to know where they measure. And that's a question the disciples bring to Jesus here as we look at Matthew 18. I'm reading from the New International Reader's Version, and it's a little bit different, but I think it helps us to get a better feel or a different perspective as we walk around the scripture. At that time, the disciples came to Jesus. They asked him, "Who's the top 10 in the kingdom of heaven?" Well, that's not what it says there. What it says there is, who's the most important person in the kingdom of heaven? They just want to know who's number one. Jesus called a little child over to him. He had the child stand among them. Jesus said, "What I am about to tell you is true. You need to change and become like little children. If you don't, you will never enter the kingdom of heaven. Anyone who takes the humble position of this child is the most important in the kingdom of heaven. Anyone who welcomes a little child like this one in my name, welcomes me." So Jesus has a very different perspective of who the greatest is, doesn't he? He doesn't look at all the leaders or the names, the titles, the education. He doesn't look at how big your reputation or fame is. He looks at the issue of being like a child. And are you like a child? Some have suggested, and we don't know, but some have suggested that perhaps this was Peter's son that Jesus brings into the midst and uses as an example in this circle. You can imagine disciples and their spouses and some that follow them all the time. a little group of maybe 50 or so people, but out there, and they're asking this question about who's the greatest in the kingdom of God. You keep talking, Jesus, about the kingdom. You keep talking about your kingdom, a new kingdom. So in this kingdom, you know, we have Rome with a Caesar, and we have all these governors, and we have the armies, and we have all these that control us. They rank them, and we know who's important. How about in your kingdom? How do you get to the top of your kingdom? And Jesus said, let's look at this little child. Now, we love children. Just so happens in my house, we love one particular little boy that was born February 26th of last year. And we've had the privilege several times in the last week to watch him on FaceTime from Seattle, and he's crawling all around the room and just ignoring everything his mother tells him. And for a moment or two, he smiles when we get on and tell him who we are. He smiles and recognizes us and tries to reach us in the phone. And then his attention span is gone and he goes and does something else. He discovered he could tear the mat apart of his, the mat in his nursery is a jigsaw puzzle kind of shaped, put together. And so he found out he could take that apart one day while we were talking to him. But putting a child in the center, and you say, well, what does that mean? And I want to say very clearly, Jesus doesn't say be childish. He said be childlike. Be like the child. Well, what does that mean? How do we look at that? And where do we go with that? One of the things about that is that the child is teachable, moldable. A child is one who can be influenced by the parent, by the one who loves them, by the one who's guiding them. And so that's a really good question to start with in the new year, isn't it? Am I teachable? Can God guide me? I was talking with Pastor Jose Ortiz, sitting right back there at the sound booth, and he was sitting in a chair appropriately distanced, and I think we had our masks on, I don't even remember, but we were talking about people in the church and ministry and leadership, and I said, well, we believe in fat people, and what I mean by that is faithful, available, and teachable. And faithful means they show up. Available means they're willing to give time and effort, and teachable means they'll learn, they'll adapt, they'll adjust. And that's really, in essence here, of what a child is. A child that's loved is faithful, meaning they're very dependent on their parents, very dependent on being at home, and then available, and of course they're all their time is available, all their life is available. Did you get it? Nothing today? Okay, you know what? I think my phone might work. I need to know my outline. It's not much more than that that I need. I just need my outline. And I'm not having any luck in anything I do. Okay, I think I can get there from here. Okay. And so the childlike spirit, the spirit of openness, the spirit of being willing to change. Now what Jesus is talking about here is conversion. You and I, as we talk about being saved, and we use that language a lot, we talk about coming to Jesus, knowing forgiveness of our sins, and that's what God does for us through Christ. And we receive him, he becomes our Father, he becomes our Savior, our Redeemer, and we know we have life in Christ. But there's another word there that we've overlooked, and we've kind of pushed it to the side and don't talk very much about it. I know the reason. One, the reason is because we're afraid people are going to think of works, that we have to do good works. That's not it, but we do need to change. Jesus says it right here. Unless you change and become like a little child, in this new International Reader's Version, it says you need to change and become like little children. Unless we change, and the word there is conversion, that God wants us to be converted. It's interesting, when my parents were working in a predominantly Latin America, predominantly Roman Catholic culture in Latin America, There it's, you know, do you go to the Mass? Do you confess? Have you been baptized? And do you give to the Catholic Church? And if so, you're a member in good standing. Now, most of them, or many of them, said, well, I was baptized, you know, and so I was put into the membership of the Roman Catholic Church, so I'm taken care of. And sometimes I'll go, or sometimes I'll show up, or maybe if I feel guilty or something, but it was a very casual, cultural thing. So instead of saying, have you been saved, they would use the word, have you been converted, meaning, have you made the change in your life? Conversion is what we do to come to God. Jesus here says, you must change. You must be converted. You must convert your life. You must make it different than the world's life. And your life becomes different as you follow me, as you come after me, as you seek me. Miles, we have a video there, and I jumped right over it, but right here it fits. And I want you to just watch this and soak it up, because it's such a clear illustration. I think it's an image that will stay in your mind all week. It's been in my mind, working on me as I'm seeing it. Let's watch it together.
The way of the world, the familiar, the routine, drifting toward the same ends, heading off in the distance, as if there was no other way. But when you meet Christ, you realize there's a different direction, a guide that invites you on a counter-cultural pilgrimage. You find a sweet harmony in conversation, in step with him. You realize the blessing that it is to be near to him. He asks you to drop everything, to follow the path toward him. And while the walk is certainly not without its challenges, you are not left unattended. But it's easy to lose focus. It may not be intentional, but if you're not disciplined to move, the gap can widen, and you'll become used to your callousness. He desires to have you close, and you remember how pleasing it is. But the affairs of the world can become rather overwhelming, and there are times when you feel trapped, times when you get preoccupied, distracted, pushed, pulled, bogged down, and you realize the instant that you're not actively moving toward him, you're moving away from him. Remember who called you to this journey, and run to him.
Remember who called you to the journey and run to him. And I love that moving escalator, the level, the moving cycle. I love the way it shows how you get taken away by the drift, by the current, by the flow around you. And they mentioned temptations. They mentioned being bumped and pushed around by the world or stressed. And those things take us out of tune, to use a phrase you would understand as a player of the bass. It has to be in tune every time. We have to get tuned up. And that's not a mafia term for getting beaten up. That's being in tune with Christ and being in tune with the Spirit and walking in the Spirit. Jesus said you have to come back and you have to be and change and become like a little child. You think about a child, and one of the things about them is dependence. They depend on someone to help them. They depend on those around them to keep them. And we need God to keep us, don't we? We need each day to check in and to check out. Now, by that I mean when you go to sleep, to let God know you're trusting in him. Review the day and think about your walk and say, how much like a child have I been in trusting you and walking with you. One of the things that's so subtle and it's so dangerous is this idea, this impression we get that we make it happen. That if we'll struggle, if we'll fight, if we'll work hard enough, if we'll be smart enough, if we'll do enough, we'll convince God or we'll convince the world or we'll make the difference. It's the power of the Holy Spirit that makes the difference. It's the Holy Spirit in us that makes the difference. And it's staying in tune, staying in rhythm, staying in the pace of Jesus that gives us the power. Nikki Gumbel is the name I couldn't think of earlier about Alpha.
I've been to it twice.
Really?
Yeah. And it's amazing.
And you know who else in our church is? Shane Ismail. He was saved through Alpha. Now the way he did it then, and I think it's changed some, but the way Shane experienced it was you would meet around tables, so it's just six or eight people at a table, have a very light supper like soup and sandwich, and then talk, and they would present a brief lesson, and then you talk about it. Now, a lot of it's on video, and there's different formats, but it's a world-changing evangelistic approach that works today. It's not yesterday's approaches, it's what the world needs, the message, and the way the world will hear the message today. Yeah, so Nikki Gumbel is talking about how this daily tuning in to God and daily being with Him. It doesn't take extended time necessarily, but it takes committed time, meaning that you say to Him, am I in step? Am I walking with you? So we have to convert. We need to be converted. We need to be converted. It's a change that needs to keep happening in our life because we get molded, we get pressured into the world around us and its priorities. God says, come back to the heart, to the base, to the presence of the Holy Spirit and His leadership. Go to the next one, Miles. Thank you. But what we do, unfortunately, is we trust in ourselves. We think in ourselves we've got it figured out. Proverbs 3, 5, and 6 says, trust in the Lord with all your heart. This is what I see in this call that Christ makes, that we are to be like a child. We're to be changing in our lives. It's trusting the Lord and not leaning on our own understanding. Our own understanding will take us in directions we don't want to go. Our own understanding will let us down. Our own understanding will get us into dead ends and get us lost. And so instead, we're to trust the Lord. We're to say, Father, guide me. I trust you. I'll do what you say. There's so many examples of this that can work out in your life that are very simple, but they are very vital and very important. One of the areas we have to trust the Lord is with our money. And so we give Him His tithe and we give offerings and we just trust God to take care of the finances. We trust Him to help us to know how to manage the riches and the resources He's given us. One of the ways that we have to trust God is with our use of time. And we dedicate time to God. Nikki Gumbel, I just mentioned him a minute ago. He's a retirement age man, but he said that he spends currently an hour a day writing this Bible of the year that he writes every year. And it's a commentary, as I understand it, on Scripture. He's been doing it for 13 or 14 years, I think he said. And each year, he's putting out a new one. A different version. Isn't that amazing? And people are transformed by it. It's a huge blessing. He talked about he's done 95 Alpha groups in a row without missing that he's led. So that's a phenomenal record. And here's that's that daily commitment of time and service to God that over a long time makes a world of difference. You say, well, it's a small thing. Yes, today it's just a matter of an hour of giving out of the 24 to God. I find, let me just confess, and maybe you agree that it's the same way in your life. I find that if I don't make it first, if I don't make it early, I don't get to the time of prayer, the time of reading, the time of witness that God is calling me to. Too many other things crowd in. trust in the Lord, so that you say, first, I'm going to do what God says and not what I'm thinking I should do, but what He's telling me to do. And in all your ways, submit to Him, and He'll make your path straight. The paraphrase, the Message, has a way of saying it that's really good. And I can't get to my notes, and I don't remember it right now. What's the next slide, brother? Is that it? We're done? You know we're not done. You know better, right? So as I was thinking about conversion, and I was thinking about trusting in the Lord, I started reading stories, witnessing, testimony stories. Christianity Today is a magazine I've gotten since I started in the ministry, and at the back of the magazine each month now, they have a story of someone who came to Christ. And I read two different stories, and coincidentally, they happen to be both stories written by former lesbians. But this first one was one that really impacted me, that I wanted to share a little bit of it with you. The word Jesus stuck in my throat like an elephant tusk. Now, isn't that a gripping phrase, a start to this article? No matter how hard I choked, I couldn't hack it out. Those who profess the name commanded my pity and my wrath. As a university professor, I tired of students who seemed to believe that knowing Jesus, and she puts it in quotes, meant knowing little else. We got to watch out for that. Christians in particular were bad readers, always criticizing always seizing opportunities to insert a Bible verse in the conversation with the same point as a punctuation mark to end the conversation rather than to deepen it. One of the sources that I really enjoyed in current evangelism says, just learn the simple phrase, tell me more. Tell me more. Someone starts to tell you their story, tell me more. Tell me more about that. Talk to me about that. So that's so much more inviting. That's so much more opening than what we sometimes do in response to what we hear. She said, stupid, pointless, menacing. That's what I thought of Christians and their God, Jesus, who in paintings looked as powerful as a Breck shampoo commercial. Isn't that a great line? As a professor of English and women's studies on track to becoming a tenured radical, I cared about morality, justice, and compassion. She said, in describing herself, she said, after my tenure book was published, I used my position as a teacher to advance the understandable priorities of the left, of the leftist lesbian professor. Listen to this. My life was happy, meaningful, and full. See, we think they're empty, dull, and hungry. My partner and I shared many vital interests. AIDS activism, children's health and literacy, Golden Retriever Rescue, our Unitarian Universalist Church, to name a few. Even if you believe the ghost stories promulgated by religious people, it was hard to argue that my partner and I were anything but good citizens and caregivers. The GLBT community values hospitality and applies it with skill, sacrifice, and integrity. The community values hospitality and applies it with skill, sacrifice, and integrity. One of a couple that attended our church for a while told me the story of their grown son that when he moved to a new community, he went to a Nazarene church because he'd been raised in a Nazarene home, obviously, and found that it really didn't care for him or reach out to him. Some Mormon friends began to talk to him, and he found in there an inclusion, a hospitality. And if you know any of the Mormon structure, you know that hospitality is huge, and they make a big part of their ministry, hospitality. She began researching and she wanted to write an article, and she started with attacking Promise Keepers. And some of us have been to Promise Keepers when it was an active men's ministry that we really found revolutionizing and excellent. She wrote the article attacking Promise Keepers, and she said afterwards she had two empty paper, the boxes that you get paper in on her desk. One was for those that hated the article, one was those that loved the article. And she said then she got a letter that didn't fit either one of the boxes. She said the Ken Smith was the pastor of Syracuse Reformed Presbyterian Church. He wrote a kind, inquiring letter. He encouraged me to explore the questions I admire. How did you arrive at your interpretations? How do you know you're right? Do you believe in God? Ken didn't argue with my article. Rather, he asked me to defend the presuppositions that undergird it. I didn't know how to respond to it, so I threw it away. But then she says she dug it out of the trash, unwrinkled it, started looking at it again. She said the letter from Ken initiated 2 years of bringing the church to me. I want you to catch two things there. 2 years. I'm not talking about two conversations. We're talking about a long process. Brought the church to me. See, we want them to come to church. We got to take church to them. That's what I'm talking about in those moments when I talk about meeting people and just listening to them and loving them in Christ's name and saying you're praying or just blessing them for their lives and what they do and hoping to talk to them further. 2 years of bringing the church to me, a heathen. Oh, I had seen my share of Bible verses on placards and at gay pride marches. Christians mocked me on Gay Pride Day and were happy that I and everyone I loved were going to hell. That was clear. That was not what Ken did. He did not mock. He engaged. So when this letter invited me to get together for dinner, I accepted. My motives at the time were straightforward. Surely this would be good for my research. Something else happened. Ken and his wife and I became friends. They entered my world and met my friends. We did book exchanges. We talked openly about sexuality and politics. They did not act as if such conversations were polluting them. They did not treat me like a blank slate. We ate together. Ken prayed in a way I had never heard before. His prayers were intimate and vulnerable. He repented of his sin in front of me. He thanked God for all things. Ken's God was holy and firm, yet full of mercy. Holy and firm, yet full of mercy. I started reading the Bible, and she talks about here she devoured it. She said she read it through several times each year in every version she could get a hold of. And she began to really question and doubt her positions and really have a deep struggle with what she was seeing in Scripture and what she was living. And so she began to talk about it within the lesbian circle and discovered, in fact, one lady who had been a Presbyterian minister for 15 years before leaving. But here's what she said. I came to meet God. She went to church. And she said she felt uncomfortable and she felt out of place because of her appearance and knowing her history. She said, I came to meet God, not to fit in. The image that came in like waves of me and everyone I loved, suffering in hell, vomited into my consciousness and gripped me in its teeth. She began to realize that maybe she believed a lie. Maybe all her friends were going to hell. And it turned her stomach and upset her. She began to realize, I fought with everything I had. I did not want this. I did not ask for this. I counted the costs, and I did not like the math on the other side of the equal sign. And then she uses a scripture, and I'm not going to read much more, but I just want to give you some highlights from it. Then she reads a scripture, John 7:17. If anyone wills to do God's will, he shall know concerning the doctrine. You see, it's back to this Proverbs. It's not our understanding, it's seeking God first. Here it is, knowing God's will and wanting to do God's will, they'll know the truth concerning doctrine. We want to put doctrine first and tell them where they're out of line with the doctrine. What they need to see first is that the truth, the will of God is more important, and knowing God's will and finding God and the experience of being with God and the love of God. And when they experience that, then they'll start asking the questions and we can start leading them. Well, you'd want to know that she says that then one ordinary day I came to Jesus open-handed and naked, meaning she brought nothing of herself. In this war of world views, Ken was there and his wife Loy. The church had been praying for me for years, and Jesus was there. And I was a broken mess. Conversion was a train wreck. I did not want to lose everything I loved, but the voice of God sang a love song in the rubble of my world. I weakly believed that if Jesus could conquer death, he could make right my world. I drank tentatively at first and then passionately in the solace of the Holy Spirit. I rested in private peace and then community, and today in the shelter of a covenant family, where one calls me wife and many call me mother. She got married, came out of that career that she was in, and living in a total different life. That's just one. I read another one and it's just as impactful, but it's a story of a young lady at the age of 30 whose parents moved to Las Vegas and for their work, and she goes to visit them, and on Sunday morning she was wearing her Dallas Cowboys shirt. She was going to go watch the game, and she said her parents invited her to church instead, and she went because out of respect for her parents. She found the engaging conversations and the care and the love and the acceptance, and it won her over. She talks about that transformation. What am I saying this morning? I'm saying that what we do as Christians is to seek people's conversion. It's not, you can't stay in your sin and come to Christ. But it's not heaven or hell. That's not where it starts. It starts with compassion and care and answering the questions and answering the concerns as they bring them up. It's that posture of tell me more. Tell me more. I'd like to hear more. Tell me about it. Tell me about it. And then God begins to guide the questions and the things that can change and turn around. Anyone who welcomes a little child like this one in my name welcomes me. And I think we need to look at people as children in that sense. When they don't know God, when they're walking far from Him, we love them. We listen to them. We let God speak to them. And we'll see a harvest. We'll see results. One of the points I had in my message earlier in the week, and I kind of took it out yesterday, though, was the importance of children and our ministry to children. We've got to have that, and we need that, and we've got to have an expectation that we're going to have children come. So we'll be prepared with staff, and we'll be prepared the minute they come through the door, and we'll have rooms that are set for them, and clean, neat environment that shows we care. And we're working on that. We're going to make a difference in that. I'm thankful that the two Spanish churches, they have children that come. It's fun. If you stay at 12 o'clock, they'll start at 12:30. They'll be in here, and there's a little girl. She just runs around the front, and nobody cares that she just is kind of all over the place. She's only 2 and a half, so I think she's got a little freedom there. But there's children and teenagers right where you're sitting as well. We've got to pray for that. We've got to ask God for that. We've got to plan for that. We've got to show that we're ready to receive them and welcome them and give them the love of Christ. because they are the ones that Jesus honors and puts into the center of the circle. Let's pray together. Father, this morning we look to you to guide us in this conversion, to convert us, that we would be more like Christ. Some of us would admit we've been on that moving sidewalk and it's drifted us. We've gone with the world. We've gone with things that are temporal. When your love and your grace and your presence and your salvation is for now and for forever. For some of us, Lord, it's a matter of knowing exactly where you want us to change. Some of us just need to say, Lord, I come to you, show me the way. Guide us, give us faith, give us courage in that moment. As we think about these two examples of these women who had to give up a whole lifestyle, a whole set of beliefs. But they did it because they sought you. May we be willing to give up whatever gets in the way. Right now, as you're praying, if God would just indicate an area to you that you need to straighten out or change the use of your time or of your money, would you just say, Lord, I'll do it. I'll do it. I don't understand it. I don't know how it works. I trust you. I'll do it. Father, thank you so much for this beautiful congregation. Thank you so much for those who listen and watch online. Thank you, Father, that the Word of God penetrates the heart. You know each one of us. You know our needs better than we do. And you desire for us even more than we do for ourselves. The peace and the joy and the love and the grace and the goodness of our God. Father, there are parents and grandparents here whose hearts are breaking for their kids or their grandkids. And I just pray that you would minister to their spirits in this moment, that they would know the peace and the serenity and the love of God is bigger and greater. And you are able to do exceedingly abundantly above all that we ask or imagine, according to the power of Christ that's at work in us. Thank you for these moments that we have together, and thank you for this day. And as you guide us, may we walk faithfully in obedience. In Jesus' name, amen. I want to just invite you to participate in the tithes and offerings this morning as the gentlemen come to receive them. Sing, and if some of you were able to help after the service, we want to reset the basement. The normal janitor for the basement's on vacation, and so I told him we'd cover it. We don't need to worry too much because of the 12:30 congregation. I'll be able to get some of them to help as well, but maybe taking down some chairs and putting them out downstairs would work and help us. Let's close out with worship, God. I'm so thankful that you're making it an excellent morning. Thank you.
Stand with us, would you?
He is exalted, the King is exalted on high. I will praise him, he is exalted forever, exalted and high. We'll praise his name. He is the Lord. Forever his truth shall reign. Heaven and earth rejoice in his holy name. He is exalted, the King is exalted on high.
Sing it.
He is exalted, the King is exalted on high. Now praise Him. Exalted forever, exalted in God will praise His name.
He's the Lord.
He is the Lord. Forever His truth shall reign. Heaven and earth rejoice in its holy name. He is exalted, the King. Exalted on high.
He's the Lord.
He is the Lord. Forever His truth shall reign. Heaven and earth rejoice in His holy name. He is exalted, the King is exalted on high.
He's exalted.
He is exalted, the King is exalted on high.
One more time.
He is exalted, the King is exalted on high.
Wow, I love that. Thank you. Wow. Good to be in church, amen?
Amen.
Happy New Year.
Happy New Year.
May it be a good and a blessed week for you as you go. May you find the Lord at every turn in the road. May you sense His presence in all you do. May God keep you. Amen.
Amen.
You're dismissed.
Thank you.